Bill Corbis says Alaska's oil tax system must change to first stop dwindling oil revenue, and then, if all goes well, increase the flow in the Trans-Alaska pipeline. About 90% of the state's budget comes from oil revenue, but the amount of oil traveling through the pipe now is significantly lower, and Corbis says it will continue to decline unless the state takes action. Arguing for tax reform, he cites reduced unrestricted funds in the state budget, $9.5 billion in 2012, $7.5 billion this year, and $7 billion in the coming budget. On top of that, he says certain required expenses, such as state health and retirement benefits, continue to get more expensive.
If you've been paying attention to what's going on in Washington, D.C., the outlook for federal support programs and so forth in Alaska is not good. So if something isn't done, we can be looking to a change in lifestyles, we Alaskans.
Corbis has a list of services that could suffer cuts because of declining oil revenue, and it is a long one. The ferry system, education, and revenue sharing, for example. In addition to that, he warns of possible state income or sales taxes to offset losses.
On the municipal level, we could be looking for possibly higher mill rates, higher sales taxes. So, you know, at this juncture, the future does not look particularly rosy.
Corbis says the current oil tax system is onerous, and because of that, oil companies are choosing to invest elsewhere. He has a graph showing that combined state and federal taxes that oil companies pay in Alaska make the government take higher than most of the competition, especially when oil prices are higher.
The Gulf of Mexico, government take of 50%. North Dakota, government take of 63%. Alberta, 60%. And Texas is somewhere in there. But anyhow, they range between 50 and 63%, whereas we in Alaska are 70 to 73%.
The current state oil taxes is called ACES, which stands for Alaska's Clear and Equitable Share. It includes a progressivity clause. That clause increases Alaska's tax when the price of oil is high.
But that progressivity factor is the killer, and it's the thing that makes us not competitive.
After his first proposal to change the oil tax structure failed in the Senate last session, Governor Sean Parnell introduced a new proposal this year. Parnell's bill had a 25% across-the-board tax and provided some tax credits for investment. The Senate approved the bill, but only after it increased the flat tax to 35% and added a $5 per barrel production fee. Nine senators still oppose the bill, including Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. Stedman agrees that ACES needs modification, especially when the price of oil is high. He says the bill that made it through the Senate makes some needed adjustments to Alaska's oil taxes, but it gives too much away.
It would move $1.7 billion, that's $1.7 billion, over to the industry side of the table. That's the part of the bill that I find troubling. You don't have to move that magnitude of cash across the table in areas that are already economic. In my opinion, it's self-induced financial suicide to the state.
Stedman adds that arguments in favor of drastic changes to the oil tax structure, such as no employment growth on the North Slope, have proven to be red herrings.
And now, one of the current red herrings is we're not competitive against our competitors, North Dakota and Texas. Well, North Dakota and Texas are being driven by the shale oil revolution, which was triggered by the technology and breakthroughs in shale oil development, hydraulic fracking. It has little to nothing to do with the tax structure.
Corbis admits that the governor's proposal hasn't been universally embraced. A critique he's heard is that there's no guarantee that making these changes will lead to increased production. That is one of Stedman's concerns.
There is no commitment. In fact, no detailed discussion and plans laying out on how oil production is going to increase, regardless of the magnitude of the tax change. And one of my colleagues even called it a crapshoot. And I think he's pretty close to being right, and he happened to be one of the guys that voted for the bill. And I don't think we should be playing craps with the state treasury.
Corbis says it's true that the oil companies won't commit.
I regret to report to you that we have not been able to, nor has any state government around the world, has ever been able to get a oil company to agree in writing. We're not going to get that.
But he says those companies have invested millions of dollars into the state, and they aren't going to just walk away. Corbis says those companies like geographic diversity, so oil production in Alaska, in addition to other locations, appeals to them. Another argument against the bill is that it could mean $4.8 billion less revenue through 2019. Corbis says Alaska will just have to get a grip on spending levels until production ramps up, thus eventually increasing state revenue.
I would submit that if we want to experience the prosperity we have experienced over the years, that we've got to bite the bullet. If we wait and do it later, the longer we wait, the more painful it's going to be.
An audience member asked whether there were any revenue projections after the initial decrease. Corbis says there are not. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.